This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, good morning, one and all, and in advance, happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, thank you very much. And well, to you, too.
Thank you, Charlie Dobbin.
Giving thanks.
Well, yes.
Franklin Proctor.
Well, thank you very much for the little address there. I appreciate that. Here we are on a beautiful day. It's going to be a honey of a day, huh?
I think everywhere in Southern Ontario, it is a day to get outside. Grab the day. Seize the moment.
Ooh.
Which just kind of nicely segues into the fact that I just realized that every year on October 10th is World Mental Health Day. So we couldn't have a better day to be outside.
That's right.
And, you know, depression, anxiety, stress. We've all got stress on some level, right?
Yeah.
So anybody who's, you know, just everybody needs to get outside and, you know, absorb that vitamin D. Just, you know, be in the moment. Listen to the birds. The geese are flying south. All kinds of stuff's going on. And, you know, the poor little bees and the bugs and the butterflies, they're all confused on a day like today. They're like, what? I thought it was October. And it's a gorgeous, almost like a July, August day.
Yeah, I was telling you, I had one of those days yesterday where I was just totally discombobulated.
Just yesterday? Just really?
Oh, nice. Thank you. Thank you, dear friend. Anyway, yeah, no. I had a whole bunch of work that I should have been doing, and I couldn't. I just couldn't settle down.
Yeah.
And I know that's not just me.
No.
It's, you know, everybody else going through. And I just, one thing I want to bring up with Thanksgiving in mind is, well, actually two things. Scott Mission, we're very big supporters of that at Zoomer Radio, so please go online to donate on that.
It's only $4.25 a meal.
That's right. Food banks.
Yes.
Boy, they are really in need of
25,000 families are shopping at the food bank in Toronto every month.
So a lot of folks for the very first time have found themselves in that position. Mm-hmm. So if you can help at all, really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
That being said, I got to get the phone numbers on you.
Oh, all right? What a concept.
Yeah.
Discombobulated.
Yeah. All right. If you'd like to have a little word with Charlie, and she can have one or two back at you, here's the number, 1-866-740-4740. And by the way, if you are a first-time caller, let us know. And then you'll hear that just before you get to the air. Get your garden wings.
And it's great to have your garden wings because it means you can hover. Yeah. You can fly above.
Levitation.
Well, exactly. But then you get a sense of the garden and your space. It's a different, it's just a different view, right? Instead of just looking parallel to the ground, you get to look down.
You are poetic as all get out today, I'm telling you.
You know it. Yeah. It's this beautiful weather it's doing to me.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, we got to take our first break, and Carlos in behind me here in the main studio, our operator,
he's in charge.
Going to get busy pushing a few buttons, and we're going to hear from our sponsors, all that sort of stuff. And Charlie and I shall return in moments here on Zoomer Radio. It's The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right, Charlie, let's take a little meander out to Mississauga.
You're lovely.
Hey, there's John, old friend John out there. Good morning, John. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Frank and Charlie. Good. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. You
and
too.
And your families.
Thank you.
Charlie, is it the time I want to transfer some peonies and shrubs? Is it the time or maybe I'll wait? And
no.
Second question, shall I use fertilizer, transplant fertilizer?
Okay. good question. And yes, the answer is yes. If you're ever going to transplant peonies, now is the time to do it. Because if you try transplanting them in the spring, you'll not get the flowers. So we always do our transplanting of peonies in the fall. Uh-huh. And shrubs, you know, you can transplant just about anything in the fall. The rule of thumb is you want to do your transplanting 6 weeks before the first hard frost.
Uh-huh.
Well, so I don't know. Are we 6 weeks before the hard frost?
Well, I hope not.
Well, that would take us to the end of November, so that's certainly possible. So I would, if you're going to transplant, do it today. And yes, I would use a transplant fertilizer.
You mean today or next week?
No, try not. I wouldn't put it off any further.
Okay.
You know, like it's been cool, and there's a cool week coming. It's just this is a really nice little blip of warm weather right now. But the cool weather will cool down the soil and slow down roots growth. See, that's the bottom line. When you transplant, you need roots to start growing so uh-huh. the plants don't get heaved up out of the soil in the middle of the winter. Okay.
Shall I use transplant fertilizer, Charlie, or not?
I would, according to directions.
Yeah.
Okay,
thanks, John.
Hey, thank you, pal.
Happy
Thanksgiving to one and all at your place. From Toronto, maybe just around the corner, is Mary online right now. Good morning, Mary. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Thank you. You too.
I'm wondering, I didn't notice when I picked up this bag of fertilizer quite a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
I had terrible clover because I used the most expensive grass seed.
Mm-hmm.
I have had nothing but clover in my lawn. It was like golf course lawn before I used that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to get rid of it, but I finally again pulled out patches all over and reseeded, okay?
Right.
I see the teeny weeny ones coming up now,
mm-hmm.
but I'm wondering this lawn fertilizer spring/summer, 1805. Can I use it?
Yes, next spring or summer.
I can't use it now.
No.
Why?
Well, those little tiny baby seedlings you see coming up are super tender and sensitive.
Uh-huh.
And remember, a fertilizer, when you put fertilizer on, fertilizer is actually a salt. So those little tiny tender plants will get fried by the fertilizer.
Oh, that makes sense.
So that you'll just have to wait. They'll be much stronger and thicker and more mature next spring and summer. So choose a good day, whenever that might be next, you know, May or June or July, to apply that fertilizer. Good idea. But I would not, I wouldn't even use a fall fertilizer on a brand new lawn, just because you want to put down a reasonably good soil, put down good grass seed blend, and watch it grow.
Well, I did. I put it in just before we had all the tons of rain, and I thought,
excellent.
Since we might have a storm today.
Yeah.
I
Maybe
might be
tomorrow.
Able to use it, but
no.
I'm glad
don't.
I called.
Yes.
Thank you guys.
I'm
again.
Glad you did too.
Stay safe, stay well.
Thank you
very much.
You
thank
too.
You indeed. Good time to call right now. Mm-hmm. We have a blank board, so you're guaranteed the call through. In Toronto, let's see, 416-360-0740. Our long distance line, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. You know what I neglected to ask you off the top there?
Mm-hmm.
How did your weekend go last week when you took your dad to the county?
Home to the county.
Yeah.
It went well, actually. You got to remember, my dad lives in a retirement residence,
yeah.
and they have a lot of rules.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had even more rules since, obviously, last March. So I went in there. It was pretty funny. He had packed his little overnight bag, but he wanted me to help him bring it down.
Yeah.
And there was a lineup because he was only allowed two people on the elevator. So a lot big lineup to get up in the elevator. So I went in there. I went like, I'm going up the stairs, number one, and I'm here to bust my dad out of this place. And they're all looking at me like, what? Because they know me, right? I'm there a lot. So it's like, all right, Dad, you know, come with me. Like, we're I'm busting you out of here. Like, let's go. Let's, you know, we're bolting out. They can't stop you. I've got, you know, hold my hand kind of thing. Anyway, it was pretty cute. Got him in my car, took him out to the county, and he said, you know, I sleep a lot, so expect me to nap while I'm here.
Yeah.
He didn't nap once. He was talking and chatting, and we went walking.
And your
walking.
Dad's 93, right?
He's almost 93, yeah.
Yeah.
Walking. He got to the point where he his voice ended up getting hoarse because he was talking so much, right? Because he lives alone. He hardly talks to anybody. He was just chatty, Mr. Chatty.
Well, isn't that great?
Yeah, so it was a good break for him. It was exhausting, obviously, but made all his favorite foods and, took him home. Elliot actually took him home on Monday. So he spent two nights with us and just had a nice break, got some nice fresh air, got to see
and change his scenery for
that's
him.
That's right, the new landscape. And he supported our landscape through this process and has added two trees into the mix.
Oh, isn't that great?
And so he got to see the two trees that he added in. So, yeah, it was, like I say, it was a really nice, it was very quiet. It was just us. And he went back home and I saw him again last night and he's pretty happy. It was a good, he had a good time.
All righty. We are up to our next break here already, but we'll be back to say hi to Elizabeth and others and look at some emails too. The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right,
that was a good
Charlie.
Laugh. Can you do that laugh again?
What?
That one.
Well, you're going to do one email here first because folks have been waiting to hear back.
Well, they did pile up, right? And I'm sorry, everybody. I've been trying to kind of work away on them, and I'm certainly bringing some
into
each
fit them
show.
In. As we go, okay? This is from Barry Fishbane, Thornhill, Ontario, about a dwarf Alberta spruce. Hello, Charlie. Enjoy your show every Saturday. Writing regarding a dwarf Alberta spruce, which you can see from the pictures I've attached. There's a couple of large holes in the west side of the plant. I have had to use rope and bungee cord to prop up some of the lower branches, but this still leaves large holes in the foliage. Should I cut off the bottom branches and let it all grow back? What do you suggest?
Good question, Barry, and you're not the only one with this question, I think. So I hope everybody's listening. So Barry has put a dwarf Alberta spruce into a fairly shady spot. He's also got it jammed up fairly close to, it looks like, the garage or the foundation of the house. So what's happening there? Insufficient light at the base of the plant, particularly near the house, insufficient air circulation because it's all jammed too tight. So what happens? The lower branches start to turn yellow and drop needles and look kind of bare and not so pretty. So Barry's trying to solve the problem with rope and bungee cord. This is the kind of thing my mother would do too, right? It was like, just, you know, tie them up. the poor plants. Honestly, what I would do, Barry, is I would take that plant out. It is not a young plant. It's been there for at least 15, maybe 20 years, based on the size of it. Given the low light conditions, choose a pyramidal evergreen, like a pyramidal yew, that will handle that amount of shade and also responds very nicely to pruning. The problem with an Alberta spruce is, and you suggested maybe I should just take off some of these lower branches, let it grow back. It will not grow back. Spruce will not grow back from old wood at the bottom. All your growth on a spruce is up at the top and the tips, whereas yews are very forgiving and they'll grow little new growth anywhere on the plant. So that's my suggestion is replace.
Take it out.
Pyramidal U.
Yep. Good stuff. Okay. Online, Elizabeth in Scarborough calling in this morning. Hi, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm wondering how hardy hibiscus are. They've been out all summer. I have many plants. I have double red ones and coral ones. And I do have an enclosed balcony off my second floor bedroom that gets the morning sun. And last winter, I brought in hanging pots of geraniums, and they thrived. They got leggy, and then I took cuttings and made many more plants and gave lots of them away. Now I'm wondering, I used to bring in the hibiscus and wrap them in a plastic bag, water them and wrap them in a plastic bag so they sort of were in their own little hothouse. But I'm wondering if they would survive out in this enclosed balcony.
It kind of depends what kind of a winter we have, right? Last winter was a pretty mild winter.
Okay.
So that's what's going to make the impact on, like, your enclosed second floor balcony obviously has no source of heat.
It doesn't. But, you know, it gets the morning sun.
So it warms up early in the day.
It stays warm probably all day.
Sun goes down.
Yes.
And if it drops to 20 below outside, what would be the temperature out on that balcony, I wonder?
Yeah.
So that would be the only thing. I mean, maybe I mean, sure, it's a good idea. I would certainly start them there and then maybe put a little thermostat or thermometer, I should say, out there.
Yes.
And monitor. Actually, there's great little thermometers nowadays where you stick the sensor out where you want. Like I have one in my garage, for example, but the readout is in my office. So I can sit in my office and I can say, oh, it's 14 degrees in the garage right now.
Oh, okay.
So just one of those little things where it's a two-piece thermometer and sensor. If you left a little sensor where it's not going to get the sun, right, you have to make sure the sun doesn't beat down onto
yes.
it. It's got to go into a darker spot on the balcony. Then you have a constant knowledge of what the temperature is. Your tropical hibiscus will likely survive down to 1 or 2 degrees. As soon as it's down around zero, you're going to start to see some frost damage on the tips.
Okay.
And then if it gets less, like it gets down to 2 or 3 or 4 below zero, the frost damage would just go deeper into the plant.
Okay.
Yeah, you could be that the root will survive and the whole plant will, you know, turn to mush, but
yes.
you'll still have a plant next spring that will grow back from the root. It's just a question of, you know, how vigorous they are and how cold it would get and for how long.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It's funny because they didn't bloom a lot during the summer, but now they're blooming.
I know. They're funny
and,
that way.
I brought one in, and every day I seem to get a new bloom.
Yeah.
And but I had to cut some of them back because they were just too tall.
Too big. I know. And that's why we cut our hibiscus, our tropical hibiscus. Do your hard pruning in March.
Yes.
Anytime in March. And that way you don't have to prune them back in September, October. Because there should be a reasonable size for getting back in the house.
Yes, yes.
Well, okay. Thanks for your call, Ellen.
Yeah, good luck with that. Let us know what you decide to do.
Okay,
Elizabeth,
thank
pardon
you.
Me.
Thanks.
Yeah, I was looking at our next caller's name there. Ellen, online from Brentford. Good morning, Ellen. Hello, Ellen.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question regarding planting a Norway spruce and some cedars. I'm going to put a berm at the back of my property that I envision being about 30 inches high.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if I can plant the root ball just into the berm, or should I cut into the main soil, into the yard itself, and put it a little bit in there, and then the berm up around the root ball?
No, your first suggestion is the right one. What
okay.
you're going to do is you're going to change the grade of your yard by adding that berm, so adding that 30 inches. Now,
yep.
that becomes your soil level. When
okay.
you plant anything into the garden, into the gardens or the lawns or anything, always look at your soil level as needing to match the plant that's being installed. So
oh,
it's the,
excellent.
It could be the
that's
soil level
news.
In the pot, or it could be a big root ball, but bottom line is, yeah, do your berm first. Then, and what are you going to make the berm out of? Is it just some fill, or have you got some good soil, or
I was going to order some triple mix.
Oh wow, that's a snazzy berm. the
well,
berms I built at my place are all
underneath.
They're all rock with an inch of soil. So no, that's great. I mean, you don't have to go expensive triple mix. I mean, I don't know how big this berm is, but that's quite. By the time you're going 30 inches high, that's
yeah.
quite a lot of triple mix. But it will. You'll be able to grow anything on it. It'll be beautiful.
Yes, and I could probably put some cheaper fill at the bottom of the berm, maybe to save
That's
a little money.
Or, yeah, or even just go with you'll usually find that topsoil is less expensive than triple mix. So you could always kind of go with a half and half, where you know you're putting the Norway spruce, plan for your triple mix in that area, and put topsoil throughout the rest. And know as well that Norway spruce are very tough, very good choice of a plant.
Oh, great. Okay, thank you very much.
You're very
thank
welcome.
Thank you, Ellen. Take care of Brantford Forest.
Yeah.
Meantime,
yeah.
I'm going to go back to our file of emails here, working away slowly at them.
Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet, baby.
Yeah.
There's lots on my computer at home.
Cheryl Durand, in any case, writes, "Hi, Charlie. Years ago, my father planted this balsam hedge at the cottage, which provides great privacy from the road. Typical maintenance was to trim it flat, straight across the top. However, the growth at the bottom has been thinning, reducing privacy. I've not trimmed it for 3 years now, thinking if I allowed the tips to emerge so I could identify each tree, I could shape them back into proper tree form, allowing some light to promote more growth at the bottom. If I'm correct in thinking this will work, how can I maintain the hedge in a bonsai-like fashion so the trees won't continue to grow upward and yet maintain bushiness at the bottom?" There you go. Wow.
And do you see the picture?
No, I didn't. Then.
So it's little balsam spruce is okay. what they are, and they're all lined up in a hedge. So they got little pointy tops and naked bodies, if you will. So they've got these little frilly kind of, you know, triangular tops, and then the trunks of the trees are naked. It's like, you know, dancing girls with, like, you know, flouncy dresses, flipping them up, and there's the legs. So, yes, Cheryl, you have an issue here. What are you going to do? Okay, why this happened, why the lower leaves and lower branches and needles were lost is because the top is shading the bottom. So your top,
not letting any
frilly,
sunlight in.
That's
there.
Right. All that frilly growth on mm-hmm. top is shading the bottom of the plants. So, of course, you know, we see dieback. Your job is to prune this hedge in such a way that it's narrow on the top and it, the theory on any hedge is narrow at the top and wider at the bottom. So the sun coming in hits all parts of the hedge. Taking the tops off of those balsams will help them bush out, because right now they're little pyramidal triangles. So taking the top off will make them bushier. The challenge for you is to get some bushiness happening down at the bottom instead of just, you know, sort of big blousy tops on them.
It's not too late to do that.
To do that now, you could do it. I personally probably wouldn't do it now. I'd probably wait till mid-spring next year. So it could be, but the cottage could be late May, depending on what kind of spring we have. But what you, and I would fertilize at that time. So what you're trying to do is encourage some new growth at the bottom in that very shady location. So you're going to have to prune them narrow at the top, plus take the tops off. And you're going to have to really just encourage any growth that comes from the bottom to get growing out far enough to keep growing. It's a bit challenging.
Okay. Our next caller, I do believe this is Maureen in North York, who, and she can confirm this, sent me a lovely Thanksgiving card and a whole bunch of stickers in there, fall colors, leaves and so forth, for my granddaughter, Maggie, who is a little Down syndrome gal.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you so much. I hope I'm thanking the right Maureen here. Hi, Maureen.
I think so. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Yes, I send Thanksgiving blessings to both of you. I'm glad you like the card and the stickers.
That's great.
Very sweet.
And I have only a short question, because I know a lot of people want to call in. I bought a pack of tulips, mm-hmm. 50 different types of tulips, and the instructions said something which I have never seen before. It said if I planted them, the bulbs, 2 weeks apart, I would lengthen my spring growing season.
Mm-hmm.
Could this possibly be true?
Okay, so when you look at that package of bulbs, that is a package packaged in the Netherlands, I assume. It wouldn't make a difference.
It's all different types of tulips.
Yeah, it won't make. Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. Yeah, sometimes it does make a difference. Like gladiola are an example where we plant them in the spring. So when we're planting things in the spring, if we plant every 2 weeks, we can get gladiolas blooming every 2 weeks because they'll start to grow when we plant them. The thing with tulips, of course, you're absolutely right. They're going in now. They have no concept of whether they went in October or November. They're going to grow when the conditions are right in the spring. It could be that in that package, there's early, mid, and late tulip varieties. So you're going to get that sort of choreography of tulips opening over a period of time, regardless of when you plant them. So I would plant them all at the same time.
Yeah, there's 50 of them, and I'm really happy with it because it's got frilled ones and ones that are multicolor.
Nice.
And some even that are green and white.
I love those. Yeah, I have some of those. Yeah. Yeah, so don't worry about doing some kind of sporadic planting date. When you're ready to plant, today being an excellent day, get them out in the ground, get them deep enough so those squirrels don't pull them up, and enjoy when they come up. And I think you'll find that they will open over a long period because varieties will be chosen to do that.
Thank you, Maureen, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you,
yeah, thanks
okay.
for calling.
Right. You
but, Frank, sorry to interrupt, but just a quick point here. That reminds me, Maureen's question about bulbs. This is the time. This is the time to be planting bulbs for next spring beauty.
Ah.
And there's an excellent website that for those who are not shopping in garden centers or getting out to Home Depots, you can shop online. It's called Flower Bulbs R Us. So the letter R Us, just like Toys R Us. So flowerbulbsrus.com. The reason I promote that website is it's run by a woman who's a friend of mine, Caroline DeVries. She also, she's an importer of bulbs here in Mississauga, and she also has a trade, does retail and trade sales. So I received three big boxes of bulbs from her.
Oh, wow. Lovely.
This past week. And I have, Elliot just about fell over. I have approximately 1,000 to 1,200 bulbs to plant.
Oh.
In the next couple of weeks.
Or Elliot does.
No, I wouldn't let him. He's been the weeding king though. He's the master of weeds, which is great. So he's been weeding because the weeds are coming up. They're just so happy with all this rain and sun and beautiful soil. So, yeah, but I've got some gorgeous, gorgeous bulbs to get in the ground. And I'll just tell you, imagine this, dark purple hyacinths. So fragrant hyacinths, but a really rich darple with bright orange tulips.
Ooh, very cool.
Super hot.
Yeah. And that website again was
flowerbulbsrus.com.
Gotcha. Okay. In Mississauga, Helen hanging on the line. Good morning, Helen. Welcome to the show.
Thanksgiving to both of you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask a question about bringing in two potted plants. One's a begonia and one's a Spanish lavender.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to bring them in and give them new, fresh potting soil, would they survive in the house, do you think?
They can. One thing is I would not transplant them as part of the bringing in because it is highly stressful to be transplanted and bringing them in is going to be stressful enough.
Okay.
What I would do, you're absolutely right. Spanish lavender is an annual. It will die outside if you leave it outside, as will the begonia. I assume they're in pots now.
Yeah, they're in pots.
Yeah. So what I would do is I'd make up a mix of soap and water, not detergent, but soap. And water, 20-to-1 ratio, water to soap. So it could be like a dish soap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I would, wash the plants off. So you're going to wash the leaves, the flowers. You're going to, you know, gently sort of pour it on, spritz it on, wash it through the soil and let that soap sit there. And of course, don't let these plants sit in the sun with the soap on them. And then 20 minutes or so later, just a rinse, rinse all that soap off. And rinse water through the soil at the same time. Let the plants drain out on the patio or wherever before you take them in. Because the reason you're going to do that, it scares away little spiders and earwigs and whoever's decided to move into the pots. So it cleans up the plants, gets free before you come inside. Now your challenge is going to be find a nice spot for them. So they're going to need bright, not necessarily direct sunlight, but they need a bright spot in your house.
Yeah.
They're going to need some probably extra humidity that you won't have available because as the furnace comes on, it gets pretty dry inside. So I would make a tray of pebble tray for them, just like a cookie sheet with gravel, sit the pots on top of the gravel, keep water in the gravel, and always have that evaporation of moisture going on around the plants. That helps raise humidity on a consistent basis. And keep an eye on them. Keep them cleaned up, you know, good garden hygiene. Don't let any dead leaves drop and start to mildew in the pots. And cross your fingers. The Spanish lavender is probably going to be your trickier one to bring in. The begonia, not so much. Generally, they're pretty good to bring indoors.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that sounds good then. Now, just one question to ask you. What's the difference between soap and detergent? When you say soap, do you mean like dish soap?
But not detergent. So what's the difference? Okay, so way, way, way back, actually right around the Second World War was just ending, and they were doing all kinds of research and development around chemical warfare and biological warfare. Detergent was invented. Prior to detergent being invented, we only had soap. So when we would wash greasy frying pans, everything would still be sort of greasy afterwards. The water would be greasy, our cloth would be greasy, the frying pan was pretty clean, and then you had to change the water to do the next greasy thing. Detergent, on the other hand, has emulsifiers in it. So what that does is it slides the soapy residue off of everything, including your cloth and your hands and your frying pans and your sink, so that it feels like you've got a much cleaner product at the end. But it's that emulsifier that slides everything off that doesn't work to kill bugs. It only gives them a bath.
So safer soap.
Yeah, safer soap is a soap designed as an insecticidal soap.
Yeah.
Ivory, as far as I know, does make soap, that's a dish soap. And then nowadays with so much, sort of sensitivity around, sort of eco-friendly cleaners and all that sort of thing, it's not that hard, even in just a regular, grocery store, to go to the detergent area or the cleaning aisle and find absolutely 100% natural soap cleaners.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
I'm glad you asked that
really
question.
Good.
Yeah, all right.
That's good.
I'm
thank
gonna
you.
Give it a try.
All right. Thank okay. you. Let us know.
And just before we take our next break, I discovered a little tidbit of information here that I thought, gee, Charlie might enjoy this little note. Did you know that First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt had a rose named after her? Well, she was thrilled until she read the description, which said, not good in bed, but fine against defense. Isn't that great? Okay.
I'm not surprised she didn't like that description. I thought you were going to say it was prickly, not very pretty and super prickly.
we have to take a break. Literally, we do.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, thank you. Furiously working at the computer while that was going on requested by me, I said to Charlie, would you check Omimi, Ontario? I'm sure that was Neil Young's birthplace, and we couldn't really verify that at all.
No, it says Toronto, it says all over Toronto. The web.
But, somebody
you're
who
sticking
might
to
know,
it.
I know, Audrey is on the line from Omimi. I wonder if you can tell us if indeed that was Neil Young's birthplace. Anyway, welcome to the show, Audrey.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I have hollyhocks, and the bed has been growing for 20 years and just replenishing itself.
Mm-hmm.
And last year and this year, I've not got any flowers. They grow up. They're not growing as high as they used to. But they don't even produce seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And, every second year, I think the plants change. Mm-hmm. And I have three different colors, and it's happening to all three.
Hmm. So 2 years, green leaves only, no flowers.
That's correct.
And as you know, when the green hollyhocks are supposed to grow with just green leaves the first year, and then they're supposed to flower the second year, produce seeds, and die. And if you don't get any flowers, you're just going to have green plants that are eventually going to just peter out. I'm wondering, in the 20 years that the hollyhocks have been growing there, have you ever amended the soil at all, added any composted manure or fertilizer or anything?
It's had a fertilizer put on it and compost.
Okay, good. Recently, have you put compost? Like in the last 2 or 3 years?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Because I'm wondering if maybe that's, or is it a case of the hollyhocks used to be in full sun, but now some trees have grown and they're in less sun?
No.
Okay.
No. That's not the case.
Okay, because they do they love their sun. Well, that's a bit of a puzzle. What I would do is, like I said, to have those green leaves is not that unusual. But normally, you're right, there's a whole cycle that starts. So you've got summer in their first year, summer in their second year. There's always new seed dropping and new plants growing. And sometimes we can circumvent the first year by having the seeds germinate the year that they are produced. So we have nonstop flowers in the same spots. It's a really good question. So right now you look at it, it's just a bed of green leaves, and they look good and healthy and green?
Yes, they seem healthy and fine.
And roughly
except
how
they're not as big as they used to grow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we expect them to be like a low-growing green plant first year and then a tall flowering plant the second year. My recommendation is next spring, because all that green's going to drop down in the winter and it'll just be a naked bed next spring, is get some help. Get somebody to help you with some good quality, well-composted organic matter and make sure that they sprinkle it on to the surface, the entire surface in the entire garden, roughly a half an inch to an inch deep, no deeper than an inch. And just get a whole sprinkling thing going on there. Try not to walk in there. Just make it so it's just kind of a gentle rain of organic material and see what happens next year. This year, I'm surprised. It was so hot, so dry that you didn't end up with some flower production. Cool, wet summers are not going to really be great for encouraging that, but this should have been a good summer for that. So I'm kind of surprised. So let's see what happens next year with the addition of some real quality organic material.
Thank you very much, Andre, and good luck with that. On to Brampton, Ontario. There's Carol on the line. Good morning, Carol. Welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Great, thanks.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just have a quick question regarding putting down grass seed.
Mm-hmm.
I thought today would be a perfect day, but now I'm beginning to wonder if it's too late in the season, if I've left it. I should have done it last month.
Well, tell me, is your lawn level or is it on a slope?
Level.
So go ahead, do it now. The way it works is of course, you're going to rough up your grass, your existing grass. I imagine it's thin, right? You've got thin areas in your lawn?
Yeah, kind of like bald spots.
Mm-hmm.
But my husband was saying, well, if we put it down now, then the neighbors have a couple of maple trees and we'll have to rake their leaves. He thought we would just be...
potentially
doing it for nothing because he'd have to rake up the leaves.
Yeah. Well, what I would do is I would never just put grass seed down onto bald spots. I would do a little bit of top dressing. So
we're going to put down topsoil mm-hmm. and I've got peat moss. We're going to mix that together.
Great. And then you're going to sprinkle that out on these spots. You're going to put out your grass seed like you're feeding the chickens. Then you're going to do a light raking to cover up the grass seed and you're going to water or wait for rain.
Correct.
You're right. I mean, the great thing about grass seed is it will wait until the conditions are right for it to grow. So it won't go anywhere. If necessary, it'll sit there till next spring and it'll grow next spring. But with the maple leaves to be dealt with, unless you can do, I guess it depends how deep your maple leaves end up coming down onto the lawn. Like if you can lightly rake the leaves off of the areas where you've place the seed, it shouldn't be a problem. I mean, you're just going to move the seed around a little bit.
Yeah, just do it lightly.
Yeah, but if you're going to plan to do some pretty hard raking or you've got, you know, a lot of stomping around to do to get the leaves, then he's right. You should probably just wait till the spring.
Yeah, no, I don't think the raking is going to be that bad. So
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'd put the grass seed out sooner than later because now is a better time to plant grass seed than the spring. Because
fantastic.
Soil is nice and warm and the seed will respond to that nice warm soil. In the spring, the soil is so cold, the seed just like, you know, wraps itself up in a scarf and waits till June. It's just way too cold in the spring.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you very much.
You bet. We're up to our next break here. You know who's waiting on the line? The inventor of the fantastic tomato feeding procedure. That would be Werner in Tilsonburg. We'll get to you, Werner, in just a couple of moments here on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And let's welcome from Tilsonburg, Ontario, Werner Online. Good morning, Werner.
Good morning, Frank and Charlie.
Good morning.
I have a couple of rose bushes.
Mm-hmm.
They were sick this summer. They had these black spots on the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And I got myself some, it's called Eco Way Rose Flower Fungicide Dust.
Okay.
But I put it in liquid. And they got rid of the black spots, but they didn't bloom for a while, then they came back.
Okay.
I wonder, do I trim them now or wait till spring?
No, I unless the roses have grown with canes that interfere with a walkway or your front door or, you know, getting out to the garbage can, what, like, unless they're a problem, I leave roses. Oh, or they're super tall and they are going to damage themselves in the north wind, in the winter wind, or, you know, bang against a fence or a wall. I would trim them down slightly to avoid that. But otherwise, I do all my rose pruning in the spring.
In the spring, yep. Eh?
And feed them at the same time. The day you prune is the day you feed, and that's usually a nice sunny day in early spring. And the black spot is because of poor air circulation or not enough sun, or both. So those dusts can work to control fungal diseases, but the best thing is to prevent fungal diseases with good air circulation, so you've got an open, your roses are pruned to grow in an open way. Uh-huh. And of course, they should be in a situation where there's 6 hours or more of direct sunlight.
Yeah, they do get that. They get that in the morning till noon.
Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, and morning sun is a gentler sun than an afternoon sun. So, and be very, very careful. You never water them in the afternoon and leave them wet overnight. Always water at soil level and preferably early in the morning. Like a soaker hose is the best way to water roses. Avoid wetting the foliage.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. Well, now I'm going to zip along here because.
Yes. Yes. We're going to run out of time. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes.
Two notes about trees.
From emails.
Aldina. Emails. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Aldina writes in, as does Maureen, with a suggestion, hopefully from you, who both want to plant trees.
A small tree.
Yep.
Narrow area. Both of them are in their backyard between, in the case of Aldina, between the shed and the patio. She wants to block the hot afternoon sun on the west side. And she wants something that's tall and narrow, that's not messy and disease resistant. And then she says, maybe I'm asking too much. So that was Aldina. And Maureen was virtually the same. She wants to plant a tree in the front yard, again, facing west. Mm-hmm. Gets super hot in the afternoon sun. Small property. So 30, she tells me the property dimensions, and a couple of trees have failed. All right. Get out your pencils and paper, ladies and gentlemen. Maureen and Aldina. I know Maureen's listening. Hopefully Aldina is as well. You weren't that clear about how small, because they're, I came up with small. The small I'm going to recommend is 15 to 30 feet tall max. So that's a small tree. Or 5 to 10 meters tall. Here's my list. Laburnum, L-A-B as in Bob, U-R-N-U-M, also known as golden chain tree. Mm-hmm. Lovely, lovely zone 6 plant. Yellow, drooping, they look like chains, right? They're beautiful yellow flowers and nice green bark. So laburnum. One I just planted at my new home is called Persian ironwood. The proper name is Paratia. So think of the word parrot. So P-A-R-R-O-T-I-A. So Paratia persica, because it's Persian ironwood. Amazingly beautiful tree. Mm. You know what it does? In the fall, the leaves are green in the summer. In the fall, the leaves turn every color of the rainbow. Oh, yellow, really? Orange, red, and burgundy all on one tree.
Wow.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I'm just so excited about these two trees. They're new for me. Columnar crab apples. Columnar crab apples are narrow. They don't get too big. There's white and pink. You decide which one you want. Make sure the western location is good. Lots of sun. Make sure there's enough air circulation. But I love a columnar crab apple. Maybe a little too messy for Aldina because she didn't want messy. And then another one is Stuartia. So the name Stuart. And then an IA. So Stuartia, beautiful white flowers on a Stuartia. All those fit fairly narrow, no more than 30 feet tall.
Might be a good time to remind folks about checking any of this stuff off on the podcast.
Correct.
By going to the main page at zoomer.ca, go to the garden show, then podcasts, and you'll select which date you want. And the full, 13 years?
I think, yeah, is on the Zoomer Media website. And the thing also is that used to be it took a couple of days for the podcast from Saturday to be posted. Mm-hmm. But if They're pretty organized now. I think it's, excuse me, it's up by Monday afternoon.
No kidding. Yeah. Wow. Okay, that's good. So there you go. Some of those suggestions, particularly for the trees, you're going, oh, I can't write fast enough. It's okay. Just go back and you'll find it all again on the podcast.
You're able right. To and you can listen to closely. All yeah. These pearls of wisdom from
Absolutely.
Frank and I.
Absolutely. Now, how about the – Well, Thanksgiving is, of course, on Monday.
Pretty much canceled across the country, I think.
Yeah, it's a tough go for a lot of people.
So, you know what I'm doing? I'm doing what a lot of people are doing. No 14-pound turkey at my house.
Yep, same here.
A simple turkey breast. Well, simple. It's still 5 or 6 pounds. Bang it down with a hammer, stuffing, roll it all up, tie it with string, stick it in the oven for an hour, and dinner's ready.
Well, Shirley's sister Betty had a knee operation just last week, and so we're going to be taking Thanksgiving dinner over to her, and that's it, because, you know, we can't do the...
No messing around with family.
Yeah, social distancing, all that sort of stuff. Anyway, with that in mind, may both Charlie and I wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving.
I'm coughing like a crazy person here. Yes, indeed. Thanks for many things. Think of the silver linings. I mean, I know this has been a tough go, but there are some serious silver linings from this pandemic. One is the environment has been certainly a lot happier place without all those airplanes and all that travel and all that craziness with tourism, et cetera. So, yes, I know economically it's tough, and our hearts go out to the businesses that have now been shuttered in both Peel and Toronto and Ottawa. Happy. See you next week.
Yeah.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.